News. I'm Bob Levicky. A former JMU employee files a racial discrimination lawsuit against the school. A factory fire in Verona causes a spill of oily water washing into the Middle River, and the DEQ is monitoring the effects. And PETA alleges that UVA researchers have mistreated mice and other animals in their research, and police execute a search warrant at the Natural Bridge Zoo over treatment of a solitary elephant there. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, December 7th. Former employee of James Madison University has filed a federal lawsuit against the school for alleged racial discrimination, WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Darla V. Edwards filed the lawsuit on Monday in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Virginia, claiming that JMU, through their program Virginia Ed Strategies, discriminated against Edwards, retaliated against, and wrongfully terminated her on the basis of race and color. The civil complaint says that Edwards, who is a 50-year-old black woman, was hired as the director of Business and Education Partnership of Virginia Ed Strategies, or VES, in 2018. The program provides college and career preparation to K-12 students. She holds a master's and education specialist degrees, is working on her doctorate, and served on the Virginia Board of Education from 2012 to 2016. Edwards also runs her own business, Successful Innovations, which works with early childhood education programs and Title I schools. According to the lawsuit, the CEO who hired Edwards told the VES board of directors at that time that the business was not a conflict of interest. However, after a new CEO, Jennifer Stevens, took the helm, she appointed a 30-year-old white woman with less education and seniority than Edwards as vice president. The lawsuit says that Edwards complained to Stevens about being passed over and planned to speak to the board of directors. Shortly thereafter, Stevens allegedly told Edwards that her business, quote, constituted an insurmountable conflict of interest, end quote, and she had to resign or sell the business. When Edwards did neither and reported the incident to the university, she was fired. A spokesperson for the university told WMRA on Wednesday that they haven't been served with the lawsuit yet and have no further comment on pending litigation. WMRA also reached out to Edwards through her attorneys, and we'll keep you updated on this case as it develops.
Full disclosure, JMU's Board of Visitors holds the operating license for WMRA, but we cover JMU as we would any other story. A recent fire at the AccuTech factory in Verona resulted in oily water washing into the Middle River. The Virginia Department of Environmental Quality is monitoring the spill. Randy has the details.
According to a report filed with the DEQ, around 12:30 or 1 a.m. on Monday, there was a fire in the grinder operation area at AccuTech, which produces razors and other blades. There were no reported injuries, although two people did go to the hospital as a precaution for smoke inhalation. The fire was caused by a spark in one of the facility's filtration units. The DEQ's communications office told WMRA that firefighting activities caused oily water to enter a drainage area, which led to a visible sheen downstream in the Middle River. The company has hired a contractor to contain the contamination using oil booms, a type of floating barrier which will fence in the petroleum product. The DEQ continues to monitor the site and says that currently there are no indications of negative impact on aquatic life. The sheen is, quote, so light it will eventually volatilize and dissipate in the river. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
We've posted a link to DEQ's report on the spill and a photo showing the oily sheen on the water at WMRA.org and on the app. Three families asked the U.S. Supreme Court late last month to pause construction on a natural gas pipeline in Southwest Virginia. Dave Cantor with VPM News reports.
Construction of the Mountain Valley Pipeline will continue after U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts denied an emergency stay on Tuesday. The application was filed last week by several landowners who asked for a delay in work while a related case is decided in a lower court. The application questioned the constitutionality of Congress granting permits for the pipeline through the debt ceiling agreement this past summer and notes multiple delays in the related case. If completed, the 300-mile pipeline would carry natural gas from West Virginia into the Commonwealth. Proponents say it's needed to ensure energy security and reliability. In addition to objections over eminent domain, permitting, and legal procedures, opponents of the project say the MVP will endanger regional flora and fauna.
Dave Cantor reporting. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA, has launched a website cataloging what it says are violations of federal animal welfare rules at five Virginia public universities that use animals in their research. That includes the University of Virginia, which PETA says has mistreated mice, birds, and other animals used for scientific experiments there. PETA bases its claims on federal government data. The launch of the website comes as some Virginia lawmakers are pushing for greater transparency about animal welfare violations at testing facilities in Virginia. PETA has also been involved in pointing out alleged abuses at Natural Bridge Zoo. The news leader reports that a search warrant has been executed at the zoo in Rockbridge County. The state police did not release details of the warrant, but in a statement, PETA said it involved alleged mistreatment of a 40-year-old solitary elephant at the zoo named Asha. Researchers at UVA Health have found more evidence that repeated exposures to blasts cause increased inflammation and structural changes in the brain. Researchers from the University of Virginia School of Medicine and Naval Medical Research Command led the study, which found that increased blast exposure can increase the risk of long-term brain-related disease. Repeated blast injuries can also affect several key brain functions, including memory, motor skills, and regulating emotions. The findings are published in the Journal of Neurotrauma. Valley Health's contract with Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield has been extended to March 31st amid negotiations. The Winchester Star reports that Valley Health President and CEO Mark Nance says he's hopeful about reaching an agreement. If a deal is not reached, 55,000 people with Anthem insurance would pay out-of-network costs at the healthcare provider's facilities. Valley Health operates six hospitals and dozens of medical practices and urgent care locations in the Winchester region and in the Shenandoah Valley. The organizations reached a settlement earlier this year over Anthem's millions in late payments. New York Congressman George Santos may have been expelled from the House of Representatives and is now facing federal indictment. But Virginia legislators have noted that some of the campaign spending crimes he's accused of are legal under Virginia law. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Cutner has more on the long-running effort to change those laws.
A report from the Congressional Committee on Ethics found George Santos used campaign funds for expenses like Botox, designer shoes, and even subscriptions to the porn website OnlyFans. But after the report was released, Virginia Democratic delegate Marcus Simon was quick to point something out. Similar personal use of campaign funds by elected officials isn't illegal in the Commonwealth.
I mean, yeah, people literally will buy stuff with their credit card and then they will put on their campaign finance report, Visa bill. Okay, well, what did you use the Visa to buy?
According to a 2015 report requested by then-Governor Terry McAuliffe, Virginia is one of three states that permit the personal use of campaign funds. But efforts to change the law in Virginia have failed for as long as reforms have been sought. In the last 2 years, Republicans killed similar bills, but Democrats failed to address the issue when they had control of both chambers and the governor's mansion in the 2 years prior. And Republican former delegate Greg Habib has some theories why reforms have failed.
It is actually not because George Santos is of the world wanting to abuse the system. It's new entrants into politics saying, I get paid so little in Virginia. If I'm not able to supplement my efforts with campaign funds, again, whether it's childcare or clothing or transportation or whatever, I can't do the job.
No bill addressing the issue has been filed yet. The 2024 session starts next month. In Richmond, I'm Brad Cutner.
One of the consequences of Democrats taking control of the General Assembly is that Republicans will have no say in who serves on the State Corporation Commission. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope explains why.
The State Corporation Commission is probably the most powerful government organization you've never heard of. It regulates everything from electricity and insurance to railroads and predatory lending. The commission has three members, although two seats are currently vacant, and Republicans and Democrats were unable to agree during the era of divided government. Now, Democrats will get to fill those seats. Mike Towne is executive director at the League of Conservation Voters.
As an environmental organization, our interest is making sure that the commission is going to fully implement Virginia's Clean Economy Act, make sure that our power companies are held accountable to pollution, and making sure that power companies aren't gouging ratepayers in your electric bills.
Stephen Hayner at the Thomas Jefferson Institute says lawmakers are already hard at work trying to line up votes.
They're talking about Linwood Lewis, and Linwood Lewis was a lawyer legislator and has a business law background. He'd be an excellent choice. And Chad Peterson would be a fascinating choice, although Chad would be giving up a much more lucrative law practice to do it. So, you know, those are both excellent choices. I just don't know if they're going to go there.
Virginia has a system with a very strong governor who has many powers, but this is not one of them. Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin will have no say in who will be appointed. Democrats will get to fill the positions when the General Assembly starts next month. Michael Pope.
A multi-state, bipartisan effort is in the works to bring more seasonal workers from other countries to process seafood. How will that impact the Commonwealth? Also with Virginia Public Radio. Pamela D'Angelo reports.
At Cowart Seafood in Lotsburg, Virginia, the sound of slurping oysters is the sound of bipartisanship. The community here is waiting as Democrats and Republicans from Virginia, Alaska, Maryland, Louisiana, and North Carolina are taking on the problematic H-2B visa for temporary foreign workers. A.J. Erskine, vice president of Cowart Seafood, has been lobbying Congress for years.
So we have a new bill that Senator Kaine, along with four Republican senators and four Democratic senators that are on this bipartisan bill, Save Our Seafood Act, and that will exempt the seafood processing industry from counting against the H-2B cap.
The cap allows 66,000 temporary workers into the U.S. It pits the seafood industry against the landscaping industry, which gets the most visas in a lottery system. When seafood processors don't have enough workers, there's a domino effect right down to the watermen and women like Monica Sheneman.
So like my buyer would sell to maybe a picking house to pick those crabs for the crab meat to get to the stores and all that. When it gets towards the fall, we've kind of lost our market because we've lost our picking houses.
Save Our Seafood Act is modeled after a law that exempts fish roe processors from the cap. Here's co-sponsored Senator Tim Kaine.
It's easier to slightly expand something that's already in law than to put something new in, so we're hoping.
The hope needs to attach itself to a bill that has a chance of being voted out of both the House and Senate and becoming law. From Lotsburg, I'm Pamela D'Angelo.
And finally today, Virginia Attorney General Jason Meares is joining calls for media organizations to cut ties with Gaza-based journalists with alleged ties to Hamas. Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd is leading the coalition of 14 state attorneys general, issuing the statement. The attorneys general sent a letter Monday to top officials at The New York Times, Associated Press, CNN, and Reuters, claiming that the news outlets were employing freelancers to assist in coverage of the Israel-Hamas war, who have affiliations with Hamas, the Palestinian militant group in control of the Gaza Strip. The letter cites reporting from The New York Times that Israeli officials claimed freelance journalists had advanced knowledge of the October 7th attack by Hamas. The news services have denied allegations that they had any forewarning about the Hamas attack, which killed more than 1,200 people. That wraps it up for the podcast today. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Thursday.